This is the Tao of Christ, and I am Marshall Davis. In this podcast, I explore the mystical roots of Christianity, which Jesus called the Kingdom of God, which I refer to as Christian non-duality, unitive awareness, or union with God. Others call it non-dual awareness, liberation, enlightenment, or spiritual awakening. It is the heart of all spiritual traditions. This is the Tao of Christ. Good morning, this is Marshall Davis. Today I'm continuing my journey through the Sermon on the Mount, interpreting it from a non-dual perspective. And today I'm looking at one of the most beautiful passages in the whole Bible, in my opinion, sometimes known as the Lilies of the Field passage. The topic of the section is worry or anxiety. Now, I already did an episode entitled Beyond Anxiety and Fear right before I started doing this series on the Sermon on the Mount, so I don't want to repeat myself here. But I am going to talk about worry some, since that's the subject Jesus is addressing. But I'm more interested in what Jesus points to in order to help us overcome worry and anxiety. Right before this section, Jesus was talking about the danger of wealth and possessions. This time he delves deeper. He's not talking about unhealthy obsession with money and wealth and possessions and owning things. He's talking about the very real and natural concern that many people have about not having enough food to eat. What is called food insecurity these days. That was a very real issue for people living in an agrarian society in the first century. People were completely dependent on circumstances beyond their control without any government safety nets. They were concerned about weather, droughts, floods, pestilence, invading armies. Any of these could cause famine, which was a regular and very real danger in those days. When you read through the Bible, you see that a lot of the Bible deals with these things. And lots of people deal with hunger and homelessness today. Now, Jesus here is not telling us how to solve this serious problem, although he already mentioned giving to those in need is a spiritual discipline. Instead, here he is addressing any fear that we might have about not having the essentials of life. And for many of us, that would come in the form of worrying about how we're going to pay the bills, the mortgage or the rent, the utilities, the grocery bills, clothing. It's a very real concern for a lot of people. And you might be concerned about these things now. How do we deal with this in a spiritual manner that is consistent with Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God, which is this non-dual reality? Jesus' answer is to learn from nature. Specifically, he mentions the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, but it's also equally true of all types of living things. This is what he says. I'll read it for you. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, worry not much more clothe you, you of little faith. Do flowers worry? Do birds worry? I plant flowers around my house. I don't know a whole lot about flower gardening. I could not tell you the names of many of the flowers, but I enjoy seeing them. My wife loves feeding the birds, as well as all the other wild animals that visit our home, so we have opportunities regularly to meditate on the flowers and the birds and the animals. They are our spiritual teachers. Jesus is directing our attention to these spiritual teachers of the natural world. He points out that they do not worry. Flowers around our house do not worry. The birds that come to our feeders do not worry. The fox and the bears and the possums and the raccoons that visit our yard do not worry. The stray cat that comes to our door does not worry. They live and die without worry. But people worry. Why do we worry? We worry because we are humans. We have a personal self-conscious psyche. I would ordinarily use the word ego here, but I've noticed recently from comments that I am misunderstood when I use the word ego, even though that term is often used in spiritual conversations to refer to the personal self. Many people understand the word in the psychological sense as a particular part of the human psyche. But when I use the word ego, I'm not speaking psychologically. I use it to refer to the whole psyche, which is the Greek word psyche. Psyche is the Greek word used in the New Testament for self. Ego, or ego in Greek, is the word for I, myself, the sense of personal self-identity, and that's how I use it. Humans worry because we have this sense of a individual, personal identity that is understood to be separate from everyone and everything else. This self-consciousness is what distinguishes humans from lilies and sparrows and possums. With that separate identity comes a sense of time and the ability to think about the future, which flowers and birds don't do. With the idea of future comes the thought that maybe the future will not provide enough for us to live. And that brings worry. In short, we worry because we are human. And so the solution to worry is not to be human, not to identify with the human ego and body. The cure for worry and anxiety is to transcend the human self, the human psyche, the human sense of a personal separate existence. This does not mean becoming less than human, but rather more than human. It means seeing what we really are. Teilhard de Chardin is credited with the oft-repeated quote, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience." First of all, it's not clear that Teilhard actually said those words. But in any case, I would modify the words this way. I would say, "We are not humans having a spiritual experience, but spirit having a human experience. We are the one spirit, the world soul," as the transcendentalist said, manifesting as humans. Humans are zoologically animals. We're nothing more than apes with a slightly larger brain and cerebral cortex than other apes, which account for the development of the sense of a separate personal self. But in reality, we are the same spirit that animates all creatures, all living things, including the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. I mean, everything has a degree of, that's alive, has a degree of consciousness or awareness or whatever you want to call it, no matter how minimal. The key to freedom from worry, anxiety, and all these other self-created forms of suffering is to rediscover what we really are, to rediscover what we have in common with other living things. What we have in common is life, divine life. The prologue of John's Gospel says of Christ, in him was life. It usually is capitalized, capital L. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. This can be called other names. We could call it intelligence. We can call this consciousness. Although I also find that when I talk about consciousness, I am sometimes misunderstood. Awareness is another word that is useful in point of this. We could call it the divine or spirit. Call this whatever you want. As long as you recognize what I'm pointing to with these words, the essence of our human nature is the essence of all living things and the essence of the universe. When we shift our sense of identity from this little localized sense of human self to the cosmic self, to the large universal awareness, to the all, then worry falls away. Birds and lilies embody this divine life effortlessly, without a sense of self to fight against it. That's why they don't worry. And that's why Jesus points to our fellow creatures on this planet and suggests that we can learn something from them. Jesus ends the section saying, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Now, don't get hung up with that translation pagans there. She's just talking about Gentiles. To counter the tendency to worry, Jesus suggests that we seek the kingdom of God, which is non-dual awareness. He tells us here in these sentences to live in the now, to live in today and not in tomorrow. For tomorrow is just a thought in the mind, which gives rise to worry. So don't go there, he's saying. Take one day at a time. Or as my wife said to a young man suffering from addiction that we picked up hitchhiking the other day, she said to him, take 1 hour at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 second at a time. When we do that, there is no time to worry. And that is it for today. Grace and peace to you. That is the Tao of Christ for today. Thank you for listening. You can access other episodes of this podcast at thetaoofchrist.com. You can also find these podcasts in video format at my YouTube channel at christiannonduality.net. My blog, Spiritual Reflections, can be found at marshalldavis.us. There you will also find a link to my books and my email address. Join me next time for another episode of the Tao of Christ.